episode 4 of Talk Central, the business technology podcast brought to you by the editors at techcentral.co.za. My name is Duncan McLeod. I'm the editor of Tech Central. With me in the studio here is Candace Jones, deputy editor. How's it, Candace?
Hey, Duncan.
So this time last week, while we were recording this podcast, just at the end of the podcast, in fact, an interesting mail dropped into our inboxes here from the spokesman for the Minister of Communications to announce that the Director General, Mamadupi Motlala, had been fired, which came as a bit of a surprise to all of us. And it's been quite a dramatic week since.
Well, surprise, yes, timing, I think, but not a surprise that she's no longer at the communications department. I think that was our statement at the last podcast, that we didn't expect her to last long there. She is, however, fighting her axing and going to try and get herself reinstated. So that's the development for this week, and it's probably been the biggest news of the week. We spoke to her this week, I think yesterday or day before yesterday, and she gave us quite a candid discussion around her plans and her hopes for herself. She says that the relationship between the minister and herself broke down or has been coming apart for quite a while, although she didn't expect to be axed as quickly and as decidedly as she was last Friday. This morning she was to go to court to fight the dismissal, and she managed to reach an agreement with Nyanda, postponing the court case until...
Was the agreement with Nyanda or was it with the president?
Well, it was at the request of the president that she postpone her court case, and then the agreement between her and Nyanda was to move it to the 26th of August. So at the request of the president, who will now be bringing in the Minister of Public Services and Administration to intervene on their behalf and hopefully resolve the issues between them.
But she's still reserving her rights in this matter and may go back to the Labour Court if there isn't a resolution to this dispute, right?
Absolutely. She says that she's hoping that there will be a resolution, but if there isn't, there is a court date set. She hopes that it will, but she will continue if it isn't resolved.
One of the investment analysts, I think it was Paul Taron from Vestact, actually tweeted about the article, that one of the articles we put up on the subject this week. In fact, I think it was the letter we published from the affidavit, the letter of termination from Nyanda to Motlala. And Paul made the point, I think he said something along the lines of that this is just an outrageous disaster, basically. And I tend to agree with him. I mean, you know, this is a critically important government department, and to allow it to descend into a shambles like this is actually a joke and is very worrying indeed.
Well, it should have been, it should not have happened at all, but as soon as it happened, the president should have intervened. He should have stepped in and said something. And Motlala is arguing that the minister did not have the right to fire her. That her appointment is made by the president in parliament, and therefore he's the only person who can fire her. And he really should have stepped in. And there was no question about that. Public Services Administration Minister Richard Baloyi also should have stepped in, or should have made some sort of comment or recommendation to the president. Why it's come to this, I don't know. It is a critical department, and it is a critical time.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's hope that the situation is sorted out soon, and that someone competent is appointed to this position, whether it's Motlala being reappointed or someone else. I think, you know, I, from looking at what's happened here, I can't actually see, despite what Motlala says, I can't see the two people, Nyanda and Motlala, working again together in a cooperative way that's going to benefit the sector. So I can't see her being reappointed to this job in a way that would be beneficial and work for this industry.
No, I agree. And not so much that she hasn't done anything or hasn't done the work that she's set out to, but you're right, the relationship, I think, is over. I don't think there is any way that they could cooperatively work together.
Mm. But there are big issues that this department is working on at the moment, and this minister. Fixing the SABC, I mean, that's an ongoing problem. Dealing with the ICASA amendment bill, the proposed legislation around ICASA, is a big issue. Broadband strategy document, sorting out Centec, sorting out the underserviced, the Universal Service and Access Agency of South Africa, which is sitting on R1 billion, which it needs to spend. There's a long list of critical interventions here that need to take place for there to be progress in the telecommunications industry in South Africa, and in the broadcasting sector, for that matter.
Absolutely.
Anyway, I'm sure that story is going to continue to run into the next week and the week thereafter. But let's move on with the show. The second interesting story, in fact, we've just posted it up on Tech Central this afternoon, Friday afternoon, which is really, really interesting, is some developments that are happening in East Africa. Actually, quite exciting developments from an African perspective, and rather disappointing from a South African perspective. In fact, I've just come back from a press conference which was held between four cities and using one of these new fancy Cisco telepresence video conferencing systems, where a company called Wenanshi, a Kenyan-based company that is backed by the founder of Kenya Data Networks and the founder of Liberty Global, which is a almost $10 billion revenue American triple play service provider that provides broadband, video, on-demand, broadcast television, and telephony. These companies, with the backing of Cisco Capital, have invested in this business called Wenanshi, which is investing $200 million in Kenya and part of Tanzania, rolling out fiber to the home, which is not a phrase you very often hear associated with African telecommunications. Everyone, certainly outside of South Africa, the perception is that the only telecommunications infrastructure that really exists is wireless mobile. But here we've got a company backed by US capital and Kenyan capital that's coming in and is going to spend a large amount of money deploying fiber and WiMAX in some areas, with the more outlying areas in Kenya. And offering over time speeds into the hundreds of megabits a second. Initially, we're looking at prices from around $12. I beg your pardon, about $18 or $19 a month for a basic uncapped, always on, I think, 256 kilobit per second internet connection. And then going right up to offering triple play services with over 100 English language television channels delivered over cable, over fiber. Combined with uncapped 1 megabit per second to start with internet connectivity for 500 rand a month.
I'm green. Once again, East Africa has trumped South Africa. This was a similar situation when CECOM first arrived. People flooded into Kenya because Kenya was just really embracing the internet.
And of course, we've seen JSE listed LTEC, the South African LTEC group, going into Kenya and doing incredibly well. They bought out Kenya Data Networks, which the founder of which is behind this Wenanshi initiative. In fact, he's now the CEO of a venture capital company based up in Nairobi, and he's backing this venture. But he made an interesting comment. His name is Richard Bell. He made an interesting comment when I asked him about whether Wenanshi would have any plans to start deploying fiber to the home in South Africa, which is something which I think you'll agree, Candace, is desperately needed here. You know, even if it's only in selected areas to start with, we desperately need someone with that sort of money and that sort of risk appetite to come in and do this sort of project. So I said to him, you know, what's the chance of Wenanshi coming into South Africa and doing this sort of investment? And he said, we'd love to come into the South African market. I think someone from Cisco made the point that broadband penetration in South Africa is only 3%, so there's a huge potential market here. But they said, Wenanshi said, Richard Bell said, the South African regulatory environment is not conducive to their investment here. And until that situation is sorted out, they're not going to invest, which is a great pity. You've got so here you've got LTEC spending huge amounts of South African shareholder money, mainly investing in the Kenyan market. You've got Wenanshi coming into the market and delivering fiber to the home. LTEC's doing more of the backhaul type networks. And these guys are not investing in South Africa. Craig Fenter, the CEO of LTEC, in fact, blamed the regulatory situation here in South Africa as well for them not deploying fiber backbone networks here in South Africa and choosing instead to go into the Kenyan market. And I think it was a chap from Cisco who said to me that with the three undersea cables that now connect to Kenya, whereas they had none before a couple of years ago, the Teams cable, the Seacom cable, and now the Easy cable, the price of international bandwidth leaving Kenya is now among the lowest rates for international bandwidth anywhere in the world.
Isn't that coming from one of the highest?
That's come from one of the highest, where in fact a market very reliant on satellite backhaul because they simply didn't have fiber connectivity to international markets. So really exciting things happening there, and these companies have said that it's the Kenyan government and the liberalization of the markets promoted by the governments in East Africa and specifically Kenya that has allowed, that is prompting these foreign companies to come in and invest these big amounts of money in the telecommunications industry there. So I think the South African government actually needs to sit up and take notice of what's going on there, because we are getting left behind.
Well, I think what will be interesting is to look at Kenya's GDP over the next two or three years and see whether or not the famous GDP or broadband penetration equation actually plays out.
Indeed. And of course, Kenya's getting on and doing the job. And in the South African context, we have our minister and our director general having a big old fight about territory. So we need to get our act in order, otherwise we are going to slip further behind. Before we go on, Candice, we actually have a giveaway to do this week. I should have mentioned it at the top of the show. Kaspersky, the antivirus company, has kindly sent us two copies of their latest Windows antivirus protection software, Kaspersky Internet Security 2011. We have two copies of this to give away, and if you send an email through to info@techcentral.co.za, that's info@techcentral.co.za, and answer this question: what is the maximum speed on the fiber to the home connections, fiber to the home connections that are going to be offered by Wenanchi in Kenya over time, over fiber connections into residential homes? What is the maximum speed that they're planning to offer? Email that figure to us at info@techcentral.co.za, and the first two correct answers will receive these copies.
Please don't forget to send your postal address so that we can post them to you.
Thanks for that, Candice. Yes. Moving right along then, the other big story this week, and in fact we broke it here on Tech Central, Candice, you've really been, had your nose to the grindstone, as it were, on the story, is Super 5 Media, the one of the licensees, one of the three licensees for pay TV, but it was four, wasn't it? Yes. One of them fell away, but ETV decided not to get into the market. This is Super 5 Media, formerly known as Telkom Media. Candice, you did a lot of digging around the story and actually wrote an investigative piece on how this company is literally falling apart. What can you tell us?
Well, Duncan, after weeks and weeks of trying to actually get hold of the company directly, being brushed aside and blatantly ignored, decided to do some other research and started digging into the affairs of the company, and it appears that it is actually just coming apart at the seams. We've managed to get hold of a couple of former employees and speak to people who are close to the company, and most of the employees have accepted retrenchment packages, although they're saying that they still haven't been paid. The first round of retrenchment packages happened about 3 or 4 months ago, and the second round in July, right at the beginning of July, and they were supposed to be paid, obviously, on the 25th, and still nothing has come into their accounts. Those employees that weren't fired, apparently, were asked to take 3 months' leave unpaid, while the company does whatever it does, and no one actually knows what exactly is going on there. I also managed to get hold of Philip Shaw, one of the directors on the board of the company that is the majority shareholder.
In fact, he owns Shenzhen Media, doesn't he?
As far as I know, yes, he does. Mm. He spoke to me from China and was very reluctant to give me any information, saying that there will be clarity on the company in a couple of days. Otherwise, he can't comment any further. I haven't managed to get hold of him since, but I have spoken to the regulator, ICASA, and I found to find out whether or not the company has managed to contact them with any of the issues that they're experiencing. The regulator says no, but they do have until the end of September. The end of August, beginning of September, to launch a product before the regulator starts investigating the company and with the possibility of revoking the license.
Yeah, it doesn't really look good, does it?
And not at all. The employees are adamant that the company is coming to pieces. And
you've spoken to a range of insiders there, and they're all very angry about how the whole thing is coming apart. And if this company, I have my serious doubts based on your interactions with the employees there that this thing is going to survive, which is a great pity, because at one stage, as I said earlier, this was used to be called Telkom Mobile. Telkom, this was Telkom's pay TV company until they decided to back out of it. It was once considered as the biggest potential rival to incumbent MultiChoice with its DSTV service.
Well, before Telkom sold Telkom Media to Shenzhen, who's the new majority shareholder, the company had all sorts of really big plans and made major investments in technology and in staff and in skills. And they managed to gain some of the top skills in the country.
Yeah, they hired Jimmy Matthews as the head of their news service. And I mean, Jimmy is a highly respected journalist and ex-ETV news editor.
Absolutely. But not just in the journalistic side, the engineering side also had some of the top guys in the country. And, you know, now it's without a CEO. The directors are uncontactable. There's no answer at the reception. And all the mails are bouncing back and employees are saying that there's no internet access.
Mm. And you've ascertained as well that it appears that the minority shareholders, specifically Video Vision Entertainment, run by Anand Singh, the famous director who produces, I think, helps pay for the Leon Schuster movies, has not signed a shareholders agreement with the majority shareholder.
As far as I can ascertain, that's true. ICASA still hasn't seen the shareholders agreement, although they're checking on that for me to see whether or not that has come through yet. But as far as I understand, the minority shareholders haven't signed. Which many speculated would have Telkom liable for the company, but I have spoken to Telkom and Telkom says that's not true. They have sold, Shenzhen has signed, and that's the deal. It's done.
Ah, right. Okay. Interesting. So Top TV obviously launched in May, and they seem to be doing quite well. They've claimed they've sold over 100,000 decoders to date, which is pretty good going in this market. I think that was their target for some time next year. So I guess the fact that Top TV has taken off and appears to be doing quite well was another nail in the coffin for Superfive Media.
It could very well be. Also, DSTV has managed to sort of up its game over the last couple of weeks, and I think a lot of the issues that what appears to be infighting at Superfive Media can't help it at all.
Okay, well we'll talk a little bit about some of those new multi-choice products a bit later in the show, but right now we have to go and pay the bills. But we'll be back right after this.
Welcome aboard Voxair Teleconferencing, where you can enjoy first-class service at a fraction of the cost, without the wait or the jet lag. Just an automated, hassle-free way to connect with people wherever they are, and all the legroom you need. It's like being there without the hassle of getting there. So why travel for business when you can simply teleconference? Call 01-0001-0001 or visit voxair.co.za. Voxair Teleconferencing from Vox.
Welcome back to Talk Central. Candace, Telkom called a really interesting press conference this week in Rosebank, Johannesburg, hosted by the newly appointed acting CEO, Jeffrey Hedberg, American national from Boston, and former CEO of mobile operator Cell C, widely credited with helping turn around the fortunes at Cell C. And he sat in the press, presented the press conference with the until now rather reclusive non-executive chairman of Telkom, Jeff Morlabella, who we've actually been trying to get hold of for several months related to allegations that from very senior sources inside Telkom that he had overstepped his mandate on a number of occasions and was interfering in the day-to-day running of the business. Of course, you know that Ruben September, the CEO who left prematurely recently, leveled a number of allegations with the board against Jeff Morlabella, accusing him of exactly these things. And we saw the resignation last week of Chief Financial Officer Peter Nelson, who has made similar, or appears to have similar issues to Ruben September with the board and specifically with Jeff Morlabella. Anyway, Jeff Morlabella used this presentation, this press conference this week, to come out fighting and to suggest that he's been maligned by these senior sources inside Telkom, and says that he has the best interests of the company at heart and is in fact trying to sort out all of the issues. He appears to enjoy the backing of Jeffrey Hedberg, who I must say was looking rather stressed at the press conference, I thought. I'm not saying he underestimated it, but I think that perhaps the scale of the challenges that are facing Telkom dwarf the scale of the challenges that he had to deal with at Cell C. He has certainly been a little circumspect in answering questions about whether he wants the job permanently, saying, you know, he's going to give it a few weeks and talk to his family and consider the sort of get a handle on the real issues facing Telkom. But it's actually really sad to think that this company, which was actually reasonably well run until I'd say a couple of years ago, is in the state it's in now. And you know, even though the ex-CEO Ruben September was a personable chap and from an outside point of view, seem to have done some of the right things, like exiting Vodacom and launching a new mobile strategy and restructuring the business and bringing in competent executives like Pinky Moholi to run the South African business and Jeff Hedberg a while ago to run the Multilinks business in Nigeria. He certainly also presided over a telecom which is facing some very, very serious challenges now. And the fact is, he presided over the basically the destruction of billions of rand in shareholder value in Multilinks. So it's going to be really, really interesting to see how this whole situation pans out in the next little while, particularly around the whole issue of the KPMG report, which the board has commissioned into the allegations that Ruben September made about Jeff Moholi-Bella and his alleged interfering in the company. I specifically asked Mr. Moholi-Bella during the press conference whether he would make that KPMG report public. And he said he sees no reason why it should not be made public. But then he said it's up to the board to decide whether that should happen. But let's hope he sticks to his plan and argues with the board that that report should be made public, because I think as a 40% state-owned enterprise, we, as the public, really have a right to know what's going on in the boardroom of this company.
Absolutely. But I think more concerning is the big trouble that Multilinks is in. And I believe that Jeff Moholi-Bella actually spoke to those issues.
In fact, Jeffrey Hedberg went into a lot of the issues facing Multilinks and was quite open about them. In fact, I was actually aware of some of these issues because I'd had an off-the-record discussion with Jeffrey Hedberg literally on the second day of his term in office as acting CEO, but that was off the record. But he obviously chose to take a lot of the issues for facing Multilinks on the record at the press conference, and he basically spoke of a number of contracts which the previous management team at Multilinks, the previous CEO at Multilinks was Tami Msamango, who has since left the telecom group. Now, there are a number of contracts that were entered into, and one of the most interesting ones is, and the most important ones, and the most critical ones to address is an agreement that Multilinks has with a company called APS, Africa Prepaid Services, a Nigerian company owned by Blue Label Telecoms, the JSE-listed telecommunications group. And from my sources in Telkom indicate that the negotiations are getting quite tough between Telkom and Blue Label. In fact, I spoke to Brett Levy, the co-CEO of Blue Label, this week, and he said to me he couldn't really comment in any detail because they've signed a non-disclosure agreement with Telkom. But he claims that they are still committed to negotiation with Telkom. And Jeffrey Hedberg, in turn, is saying that unless the deal with Blue Label Telecoms can be renegotiated, Multilinks is going to go under. Whether that's just a negotiating tactic or not, I don't know, but it certainly seems like a very serious situation. Blue Label, of course, isn't the only company that Jeffrey Hedberg is keen to renegotiate the Multilinks contract with. There's also an outsource agreement with Helios Towers, which is a tower sharing company, which operates about half of Multilinks' tower in Nigeria, as well as agreements with network equipment suppliers and with IT services companies. So, yeah, Telkom, good luck, Jeffrey. I think good luck to the two Jeffreys, really. There's a lot of work and a lot of fixing that needs to be done at Telkom, and let's hope they get it right, because this, much as the telecommunications market in South Africa is fairly competitive now, this company is still a strategic national asset and can't afford to fail.
Agreed, totally. Mm-hmm. But on a lighter note...
A lighter note indeed, yes, Candace. MultiChoice and DStv have launched a mobile streaming service. Tell us about it.
Well, it's the news that we sort of picked up on by accident and broke this week, that they have decided to implement a streaming mobile TV service over Vodafone Live in partnership with Vodacom. The service is not a fully-fledged broadcasting service. It is an internet-based service, so you will need a 3G phone. Otherwise, it will be a little bit slow, although they have sort of cut off people without 3G phones. You actually can't access it if you don't have one, which I think is a good idea, because a lot of people will complain about the quality of service. But I had a look at it yesterday. It looks really good. Every now and then it buffers, but at the moment it's a very clear picture. And some really interesting channels. So some of the top stuff, Mnet Idols, and Big Brother, which is a, as you know, is a very well-watched TV show.
For some reason, which I still don't understand.
Myself. But also at reasonable prices. We're looking at either 59 Rand a month or 19 Rand a week. I spoke to DStv Mobile yesterday, and they did indicate that there are fair usage policies on those on those prices.
And they're quite strict, aren't they?
They are, but they say that it will increase as the number of subscribers increases. I think the reason they're putting on these fair usage policies is because they're actually not charging the customer for the bandwidth. They're actually pulling the cost of the bandwidth themselves. Which, you know, which will be hefty in the beginning, and until they get the numbers that they need to break even, it will cost them quite a pretty packet. So, you know, they say that as the numbers increase, the usage policy will be a little bit more slack. So you're looking at 45 minutes for the 19 Rand, the weekly streaming video, and you're looking at about 3 hours for the month at the 59 Rand option.
Which is not much at all.
Well, if you look at it, watching 3 hours of TV on your mobile a month, it's actually quite a lot. It doesn't sound like a lot because it's about two movies, but at the end of the day, who's going to watch a movie on their mobile phone unless it's mom keeping kids busy?
Now, Candice, you've ascertained as well that that they haven't launched the service because because they haven't been given the DVBH or the broadcast license for mobile yet. They're still applying for that, and they're going to operate both services, if I'm right.
Yes, absolutely. When I spoke to them, there's been a lot of talk about them trying to circumvent not having the mobile DVBH license, which is the full broadcast license. They said to me that no, they're maintaining both, that both are in you know, progress in terms of work, and the streaming has been an option for quite a while, and it's not the first time that they run it either.
Well, let's see how popular it is. I personally have my doubts about this these services being particularly popular, but then maybe I'm not the target market. I don't think I'd ever want to watch television on my cell phone, but maybe there are millions of, I don't know, cricket mad fans out there when they watch cricket on their phones all day.
Well, Duncan, you already have access to a full DStv bouquet. For those people who are looking at a 20 Rand extra at the end of the week to splurge on either airtime or possibly the rugby, soccer, or cricket over the weekend, you know, there's a lot of guys who would do it.
Yeah, I guess guys like you and me are on the target market for this. I mean, we're connected with 4 meg, seem to be 10 meg ADSL lines. We've got DStv subscriptions that work, so we're already connected basically everywhere we go. So I'm sure we're not the target market, but it's going to be interesting to see how many customers they sign up, especially with the rumors now that one of the mobile operators is going to be launching a competing service early next week. So let's keep an eye on that space.
We shall indeed. But speaking of interesting services, they've also planning to launch a new HD product.
Yes, MultiChoice, in fact, is we broke the news as well this week on Tech Central about Mnet Movies 1 HD, which will launch on the 1st of October. It's to be their fifth HD channel, which is quite amazing if you think that Mnet HD, their first channel, only launched last year sometime, I think September.
HD being high definition.
Yes, and you know, it's I attribute it to competition in the market. We've got Top TV out there, and while Top TV isn't targeting the top end of the market, MultiChoice does have to keep its customers sweet. So I think this is all being driven by competition, and the more competitive the market gets, the more we're going to see these sort of offerings. But if you've got one of these big flat panel HD TVs, it's getting harder and harder to ignore that HD PVR, I think.
Well, I'm about to head off and go buy myself one, so...
Okay, well, I know what you're doing this weekend, Candice. Apart from playing StarCraft, of course.
Indeed.
Great. Well, I think that's about all the time we have for this week's show. As always, if you've got feedback on the show, we'd love to hear from you. You can email us at info@techcentral.co.za, or you can leave a comment on the website. As always, for the latest tech news, check out techcentral.co.za, and you're welcome to subscribe to our daily newsletter, which you should get at around 5 every morning, crammed full of all the latest technology news. Until next Friday, from myself and Candice, have a great week. Bye for now.